and welcome to the Tuesday Epilepsy Club. This is Series 3, Episode 2, Memory. I'm going to start today's podcast by reading you an extract from my best-selling book, Fits and Starts. So take a moment, sit back, and enjoy. The quiet is startling. I am at a loss. After 2 hours reading, I was hoping to feel tired, but instead, I'm increasingly agitated. I fidget. Doubts form quickly in my mind. They move like a flock of birds following every thought I have. The anxiety is rising. I'm gnawing at my fingernails again. I can't stop. When there are no nails remaining, I pick the skin around the nails. Who would have thought relaxation could be so stressful? I briefly considered having a look around in the dark. That's what the kids would have done. Well, to be exact, Oscar would have turned up with his magnifying glass, a torch, and tried to loot the place for chocolate and £1 coins, his trusted friend, Kurt, standing by, making chicken noises. As the kids get older, and they remember more, everything, it becomes increasingly obvious how little I remember. Absolutely nothing. There are snapshots based on truth, you understand, but as time continues and details escape me, increasing amounts of fiction are used to fill in the gaps. I'm not a good liar, but I'm becoming a very good storyteller. Details of most things surrounding my childhood now escape me. There are patches of clarity, but most of it is just feelings, inklings. This world, my world, is becoming more and more hidden from me. Without pictures, I would have no idea what anything looked like. Events, like baking German biscuits at Christmas time and decorating the Christmas tree, are solidified only because it's done on an annual basis. When anyone differentiates between the years, I get lost in a fog. It's a horrible feeling to be lost in your own mind. Memory is the brain's filing system. But as time continues, I'm being increasingly locked out of the filing cabinet, no key in sight. The fit affects brain's capacity to not only forge new memories, but also recollect old ones. I could not tell you about any of my birthday parties as a child or an adult. I cannot remember name for more than 5 minutes, and I'm unlikely to remember who you are, even after we've met several times. Please do not take offence. It's not personal. I had a fantastic memory as a child. I pictured the prose in my head, and I read them as clear as words on a page. These days, I have difficulty remembering if I even read, let alone enjoyed, a book. It's fuzzy, opaque, covered in thick, dark cloud. Something about a cellist, Kate something, Sarajevo. I squint when I'm concentrating. The light hurts my eyes, and the constant furrowed brow hurts my head. I can watch a film, and a week later have no idea what happened at the end. The neuroscientist, R. Joseph, stated that within the core of each of us is the child we once were. The child constitutes the foundation of what we have become, who we are, and what we will be. Statements like this worry me. If this is true, where does that leave me? As the days go by, I remember less and less about my childhood. The child within me is being buried alive with every fall, bang, and bump. I started this podcast with a short extract from my book, endeavouring to highlight what losing your memory is like. It's impossible to explain, really. In a nutshell, it comes down to one thing, I guess. You need to have a strong sense of self to have a chronic condition. You need to know who you are, what you want, and where you're headed. But doing that when you sometimes can't remember the most basic details about yourself and those around you, it's not as easy as it sounds. I have one recurring question, the same as many others with epilepsy, I'm sure. How long will it be before my memories, which forge my personality and make up who I am, completely and utterly dissipate? Most injuries will heal. Over time, the scars will fade. But once the memories go, really go, I will lose great chunks of myself. and my children and my husband. Can you imagine what it's like to know who you are at breakfast, but only have a vague idea after dinner? What if you were offered a medication which made your fit somewhat better, but your memory much worse? Would you take it? Not much of a choice, is it? Sometimes I try to concede, well, it wasn't really much of a choice. I didn't really have much of a choice. My only choice was to keep my family safe, my children safe. Maybe it's not my memory that's getting worse. Maybe it's my concentration. Bearing in mind what happens to the brain during a fit, difficulty concentrating is hardly surprising. I can write a book one day, record a podcast another day, but on the third day, I have no recollection what I'm doing at the bus stop, or how I got to the Oval, or what I'm doing wandering around Kennington. I test myself dozens of times a day, trying to remember small, innocuous details. In the days before my period, when my fits increase, I literally walk in circles. Of course, that's why freezers were invented. And always wash the clothes when you feel lucid. Otherwise, you're just going to end up with a whole load of pink clothes. And the kids won't appreciate it. Trust me. Been there, done that. It's the words, the failing vocabulary, which is most irritating. Not even impressive vocabulary, you understand. Dishwasher, spatula, gladiator, prime minister. Oh, those things you use to file your nails. Oh, what are they called? You know, the things you, I mean, the things you buy to, you know, the ones that you use to file your fingernails with. I almost wish I hadn't had such an impressive memory to begin with. Maybe then I wouldn't notice its increasing disappearance. In the coming weeks, I'll be giving you tips on how to cope with memory loss. So join me again then. Thanks for joining. Here's the Tuesday Epilepsy Club. Take care. Bye.